Good evening, or sorry, good. Yeah, I tried to get that right from the start. Being compulsive overeater, and then I'm from Sydney, Australia, where it's evening. So wherever you are in the world, hi. I want to get this first minute over and done with because I'm feeling nervous, and that's pretty funny in a lot of ways. It's not my first time doing this, but. I'm just reminded that I might lead off by saying that anything you hear from me today that's not in the literature, please disregard it. I don't really have anything original to say about this program. My story might be slightly original, but the similarities is what bonds me to you guys. And I would just also like to say up front, because I'll probably forget, that anyone that takes notes or can put it in the chat, that I'm here because of the people that walk before me. And I think it's quite interesting that this program's called Footsteps, I thought it's kind of interesting. And the reason that I'm back in the rooms this time is because I heard an OA speaker. I'm going to mention his name because he's recorded and he signed all the forms. And his name was Richard V. V for Victor, I don't know what his name, but V. Anyway, he was on XA Speakers and he was recorded in Brentwood, California, 2002 on XA Speakers. And you can find him. And, I really haven't got much to add to what that guy told me, and I think he'd done a much better job of talking about this program. So please, if you're ever looking for a little bit of an uplift, check out OA speaker Richard V. And I'm just going to say that I mentioned, my higher power, because I'm lazy, I only call it God, right? So if you can't cope with that, then turn it into whatever you like, good order, direction, or whatever. I don't care, but I'm going to call it God. And that's not any sort of God that I know that other people, know about or get along with. It's just easy for me. It's higher power just seems to me to belong. So, I think that's all I need to say about that. And the other thing is that I can't outgive this program. I was invited to share with you guys for 20 minutes, and I'm glad I only found out about this yesterday, because I don't know about you, but sort of compulsive overeater I am. I probably would have worried about it for as long as I had. If you give me a week or 2 weeks, I probably would have made some notes and lots of notes, and I would have lost them all, of course, and that sort of thing. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to do service. I haven't heard my story for a little while, so I'm going to hear it again tonight, and it's there's some big gaps in it as far as memory and collection and stuff go, because I don't before the age of 12 I don't have any memory. I don't know. I don't know, and I spent, probably an awful lot of money trying to get that rectified. It never came back. So be what it is. But by the time that I have some memories, I was already in the food. And I've seen a few childhood photos, and, I looked about, or I think two, actually. I looked about normal size, but I don't really know. But it's the memories that I do remember about 12 is that two distinct memories is one that I couldn't wait to die, which is apparently a little unusual for a 12-year-old, so they tell me. And the other one is that when I got the chance to overeat, I felt ease and comfort for the first time in my life that I could relate to. And it talks about ease and comfort in the big book, I believe. That was my suit of armor, although I didn't know it. And there was a few possibly unusual things going on in my childhood up until that time and following, but it doesn't really matter. I don't really know. I don't really have to know why I'm a compulsive overeater. It was kind of indicated to me recently that perhaps the acronym for the word why is knowing why won't help you, Dean. It's all I knew is that slowly but surely over from the age of 12 until the next basically 48 years, is that I lost more and more control. And what that looked like physically is probably, I haven't counted up it. It wouldn't be an exaggeration, which is pretty rare coming from me, that that I would have gained and lost over 900 pounds. Now, my top weight was never that heavy. But I think anyone that has battled with this battle kind of understands that the amount of pain involved in that. I mean, I didn't come in here a winner, you know. I don't think that anybody does, really. Although I had a lot of really good things happening in my life at that time, you know. Some of the things that I thought that when I came in, that I thought if I had those things in my life, that would have fixed everything. It's real funny, you know. Like I was earning 10 times the average salary, which you think, oh, well, that, you know, that might not be such a big thing. But I didn't have an education. So that kind of, that's a little bit different, you know. So there was, you know, that I happened to be involved with the most incredible human being I'd ever met in my life as my partner. A little bit lucky, you might say. So I had these things that are going on that maybe for a normal person wouldn't be anything other than great. But I had this tape running in my head that I wasn't okay and that I was going to lose all that, and I wasn't worthy of all that. And it's what I understand now is that that this program demands that I that my acceptance of myself, the level of acceptance for myself, grows, you know. And that's probably the hardest thing of all for me. With that gain and loss, you know, I really don't, as Richard V says, I don't care, you know, anyone in this program, if they have, you know, 1 pound to lose or 1,000 pounds, or under-eater, over-eater, bulimic, and a compulsive over-eater, restricted exercise, it doesn't matter to me, you know, it just doesn't matter. You know, I'm here in this meeting today because I started doing something called the set-aside prayer. If you don't know, look it up. It's a few different versions of it. You know? Because I got to a place in my recovery once again where I wanted and needed more. You know, I think anyone sitting in these rooms today is a seeker. You know, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here. That's my opinion. Everything is. As Richard V said, you know, he said, I can say whatever I like as long as I say in my humble opinion. So, you know, coming to these rooms, as I did 28 years ago, after running out of things that I could try, this was the last thing that I could, you know, it was the newest thing. Okay, it was the newest thing that I heard about. And I came into the rooms and I was 1994 in Sydney, Australia, and I went to a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, my first, and I was terrified, and I didn't like what I saw, and I didn't like what I heard in that room. And in Australia, we hang the 12 steps up on the wall, and I spent the whole time looking at this banner of the steps, and they had numbers down the side, but the numbers down the side to me went 1, 4, 9. That's all I could see. I know that I must have breathed in that meeting because I'm here today, but I was terrified. I ran out of that meeting before it ended, and but the curiosity spark had been lit, and being a little bit compulsive, I ended up at a meeting the next day. And
10 minutes left, Dean.
Thank you. And in that meeting, they were a little bit quicker on their feet than me, because, and as I headed for the door, I found a smiling face beaming at me, you know, and basically, you know, saying, "Hi, are you new? You know, do you have a sponsor?" I said yes and no, and she said, "Great, you have now. Ring me at 6 o'clock in the morning," and that's how we started. And she handed me a grey sheet of paper, and she told me all these things that I couldn't eat, and she told me all sorts of things that I didn't know. And off we went, and I had my third substantial weight loss in my life, and then. I don't know about if there's anyone that's run that might have lost weight before or and then might have found it, but that was my experience. And I did a really bad job of my steps. You know, the fact that that person was of the opposite sex and very attractive to me probably didn't help. You know, there wasn't a lot of men in that meeting, but that was none. But anyway, that's just an excuse, you know, for a lot of them. But I left and the weight came back, and the pain came back, and I had another attempt at taking my life. And I went into 18 years of therapy, and then I crawled back to the rooms and somebody helped me again. And I had another relapse, and I left. And I came back again, and someone helped me, and I had 6 years of back-to-back group-assisted dieting abstinence. And that's a pretty long time, you know, from what I hear. But anyway... the insanity never left, and another suicide attempt. At this point, I don't know how many people in the world commit suicide. So, I just invite you to look for similarities rather than the differences. You know, I don't see. You know, so I left and I came back again, and I pulled up outside the doors of OA, and I watched, binging in my car. It was raining and dark winter's night, and I was trying to get up the courage to go inside. I didn't really think I was going to go inside, because I was going to get well. I decided that I was beyond that, but I was just so lonely. I just wanted to sit in the room. And then I decided I wasn't going to go. And just as I was about to leave, I saw three people walk into the building, large people. And they were hesitating and looking at the sign. And, you know, so I knew that they hadn't been there before. And I just kind of thought that, you know, something told me that they were probably new. And I realized at that point that I knew that this program could work, you know, and I wanted to tell them that it could work. And that gave me enough courage to go into that room. And I sat in that meeting thinking, oh my God, what am I going to say when it comes to share? Like, I mean, it didn't look like I was in any way recovered or, you know, a walking good billboard of OA. And yet I knew that this could work for some people. And I was in my share, I heard myself telling them that it could work, and I sat there and I felt like such, you know what? I didn't feel like a fraud because I believed what I was saying, but I just felt like I was a terrible example of what I was trying to say. I left that meeting, and then intent on going back the following week. I went back, and then about a day before that meeting met again, I realized that I had been abstinent for those 6 days. So I went back to that meeting really excited, and I can tell you that they didn't come back. I've never seen them again. I've never seen those three people again. I came back. That was about two and a quarter years ago. And about 6 months into that 2.25 years, working the similar sort of program that I had before with the great weight release and everything else, the depression started to come back, and I cried out. I cried out to my God as to why, and I finally got the answer that I had been looking for 28 years, and that was that I hadn't done it. I'd only done my step three 99%. I thought it was enough, and it was very clear that I had that 1% back. That was that suicide. All got too hard. When it got real hard, I would take control. And it wasn't until that I completely gave myself my will and my life over the care of God. And as soon as I did that, for me, the depression went away. And I just like to say that I had been misdiagnosed, and my psychiatrist apologized, I've never had a day of depression since that, and that's not going to be the same for everyone. But I don't have medical depression. He told me years before to come back to OA that my record showed that every time I came to OA, my depression went away. But I didn't want to hear that back then. I just changed psychiatrists because I wasn't ready. And I arrived back, and I just like to say that I just needed to try new things, because what I had tried hadn't really worked, and the program didn't change. None of the literature changed, or the steps changed, or anything like that. I got a new sponsor, and I'm very, very grateful about that, because he explained to me the 149 thing hadn't really, the fear about the 149 thing hadn't really gone away, but he explained it in such a way that made it safe for me to move forward, and to keep moving. And I'll tell you what it is. He told me that when I had completed the step that I was working on fully, then I would be willing and able to move forward to the next step.
2 minutes left, Dean.
Thank you. And if I and with that knowledge was the key that unlocked that, and the cleanup of step three was the key that unlocked this level of recovery that I have now, and it's fantastic. I think when I look at the promises, they were underdone. I don't think Bill underdone too many things. He was a salesman, but I think when I look at my life and I look at those promises now, they're underdone. I think he had to mellow them down a little bit. I move through the world now. In such a way that I don't have to fear tomorrow, and I certainly have no thoughts about wanting to end my life early or stuff like that. In fact, I said to God the other morning as we're having a chat, I said, what's the likelihood of ascending early? Because I'm not in my prime anymore, and he clearly told me that he has enough angels up there, Dean. He said, I need more soldiers on the ground. I need more soldiers on the ground now. And so I'm a soldier on the ground today. And I guess that my details will be up somewhere. And I'm happy to expand on this conversation 10,000 fold, because someone did that with me. And I can't outgive this program. I just can't. The more I give away, the more I get back. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.